when you get pushed down on, when you're pushed down from above, sometimes your knees get weak. How many's ever had your knees buckle? Now, I'm not talking about from not eating or lack of a sugar thing, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a glory. So there's a glory here this morning. God has gone before us, and he has opened his glory to us this morning. And there's powerful love in this place. And somehow or another, I'm going to have to start coordinating to get that Garth Brooks thing, because I'm a hand person, and this thing ties me up all the time. So I may have somebody come up here and hold this thing for me a few times once I get started. This morning, what I'm going to share with you, and it's not strange that Heath was talking about all the things that he's talking about love this morning. And it's not strange that we've just celebrated what we know in this country as St. Valentine's Day. Okay. There was a patron saint named St. Valentine. So I'm not necessarily going to minister a Valentine message, but I do feel like that God has deposited a word in my spirit, and I've shared this word in several months past, but I don't even know. There's a lot of new people here, and then there's people probably was here then that probably don't remember what I shared out of that, to be honest with you. But this morning, we are here because God loves us. Do you realize that? Do you realize the meal you're enjoying right here today has all been paid for? So you got to lift your hands. You got to praise God. You got to do that under a glory of his presence. And all that was paid for at his expense. God loved us enough that he gave that to us this morning. Nothing that we'd ever earned. And this privilege that I have this morning is not because I earned it. It's not because I did so many things right this week. I probably beat you all in that department of doing things wrong, okay? Anybody ever had a week like just everything went wrong, you know? Okay. Well, nobody is. A lot of people didn't raise their hand. Praise God for you. I want to learn how you do that. I want to know how you can have a week and never anything go wrong. You get to teach pastor something at the end of the service. I want to hear how you figured that out. Because we all have days like that when everything goes wrong. But I want to share with you from the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. It has enriched my life. The Word of God has been my stay through the storms of life. It is something that, you know, years and years ago, I just used to open the Word, and not all the time, but the Word, I used to open the Word for the benefit of just finding messages and sermons. And then in 1991, God revolutionized the Word in my spirit, and that Word became flesh. That Word became realness in me, and God brought that Word alive to me. And it never was that the Word, it wasn't that the Word never was alive, but the Word took on a whole new meaning to us this morning. So say the Word. How many in here has a word of God at home? How many has a Bible? How many has the scripture at home? Okay, not everybody. Okay, I'm going to get you one. Why do we have trouble raising our hand? If you were in my classroom, I'd be coming to you and say, do you not know the answer? I promise you, your hand won't break off if you raise it, okay? You might get a whoo, you might get a joke up there when you do, okay? So I'd like to share with you out of the Word of God. This is the shortest book in the New Testament. And it's the richest book in the New Testament. It's a book called Philemon. And this is after the book of Titus. For those some people in here, I know we've been talking about this and discipleship and the discipleship group me. I sent that out and I told people to read that, and some people probably just ignored it. Okay? But there's a reason why the Holy Spirit told me to do that. Because we really need to venture into this powerful word this morning. Because this is a word about restoration, reconciliation, grace and forgiveness and mercy. How many knows we all need those things? Amen? We all need restoration, right? We all are being worked on today. God's working on us. And we're at different places in that restoration process. But God, through His Son Jesus, who has reconciled us to Himself, has brought us back to the place of proper alignment in Jesus. So therefore, He has reconciled us back to the Father, because we were distant from the Father. We were away from God. We were away from God. We were away from the hope, and we needed that in our lives. We needed that. So God, through the richness of His Son, removed the wall, removed the barrier, and reconciled us to the death of His Son Jesus, and brought us back into fellowship with the Father. Now we have Paul said, now that we have been reconciled, we have the ministry of reconciliation in ourselves. So you see, Jesus set me free so I can set others free. Every day is a mission in my life to bring somebody else to that knowledge of reconciliation, that there's a God in heaven who loves them and that He died for them, and that they don't have to die in their sins. They don't have to die, because hell wasn't made for the believer. Listen, God didn't design hell for you. He designed that for the devil and his angels. Let me tell you. And if you go there, guess what? You'll go as an intruder. You'll go because you trampled over the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ. God made a way for you to escape. Wow. Man, that ought to make everybody in this room shout. I'm not headed there anymore, Pastor. I've got a new ticket. I've got a new destination. I'm on my way to heaven. Can somebody say that with me today? Just wave your hand at me. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, and I won't turn back to Canaan's land. How many knows that we're on our way? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm on my way. So today, Philemon. And the word Philemon is a powerful word in Scripture, because his word means kiss, affectionate. You know what's missing a lot of times in people's lives is affection. And since they don't get affection in the right places, they'll look for it in the wrong places. How many knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, you're looking for affection, but you're looking for the wrong and the wrong places. You're looking for love, but you're looking in the wrong places. I just want somebody to love me, Pastor. I just want somebody to respect me. I want somebody to just understand me. I just want people to love me. I know there are tough people in this room that say, I don't need anybody's love. But when the rubber meets the road, everybody needs love. Amen. Everybody needs love. Everybody needs to be shown love. And everybody needs to show love. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So the word Philemon means affectionate. He was an affectionate brother. He loved his brothers. And Paul wrote a letter. This short letter was Paul's first letter from a Roman prison. I started to ask you, where was this letter written from? So I'm going to preach this morning. I just need you all to stay with me and engage me, okay? I don't want you to be flipping through your social media. I don't want you to be looking around and giving you your one and only goo-goo eyes, okay? I need you to give Jesus some goo-goo eyes, okay? And I need your undivided attention. So this morning, he wrote this letter from a prison. He wrote this letter from a prison. You know, I've gotten letters a lot of times from prisons right here. We get letters every week from prisons. We get all kinds of letters from prisons. We received one this week from Pocahontas, Virginia or West Virginia. I don't know. Virginia. And this young man is reaching out. Most of the letters we get from prison are people who are needing love and needing support and needing to be shown love. And they need a fresh start. And they're asking for help. That's where most of the letters that we get from. But then we have letters from prison who encourage me. Woo. You see, there's another level of love. There's another level of love. Some of the freest people I know are people behind the walls. I looked in the face of two young men the other night in discipleship at Camp 18. These men were sitting there at the table, and we were talking about Philemon, and we were talking about this very thing. And I told them that there are more free, there are just as many free people behind the walls as are outside the walls, because that's a place that you don't expect to get a love letter from. How many know that is not the likely place that you're going to get a love letter? That's a letter you're going to get to request that somebody love you and understand you. But this is a different level when people inside the wall who are truly free in Christ, truly free in Christ, then can write a letter encouraging those outside the wall to continue on in the faith. Not only do they write letters from inside the wall encouraging this old pastor, but then they give their support to a ministry they have never actually set inside this facility. But they made a connection. And let me tell you where they made the connection. Because this is where you've got to make a connection today. You'll never be apart unless you make a connection here first. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to make a connection from the heart. At Valentine's, we draw pictures of the heart. And we give them to our honeys. I gave one to Mrs. R. I found the biggest Valentine I could find. It's about that tall. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, you guys act like... Okay, all right. It's about that wide, about that tall. And she looked at it and she said, "Whoa, I got a good deal on a big card." But the card said what I wanted to say. And on that card, of course, was a big heart. Listen. You got to have heart to love the way Jesus told you to love. God said of David, "I am looking for a man who is after my heart." When you found the Father's heart, you'll find other hearts, amen, to sow love into. You won't love people because of what you can get out of it. You'll just love people. I told somebody this week, maybe Josh and I was talking, I'm not sure. And I was, listen, I've had my throat cut, not literally. I've been stabbed in the back. I've been lied on. I've been threatened. Anything you can imagine, I've had. I've never been, well, I have had things thrown at me before, but I don't know if I've ever had a bullet. Maybe I just dodged the bullet. I don't know. But I've had all kinds of opposition, and I know where that came from. And today, literally, if I never walk outside this room, I have no ought against anybody. I don't care how much they've hated me, how much they don't love me. I still choose to love instead of hate. Amen. It goes further. Don't spend your time hating people. Spend your time loving people. Because if my life leaves my lungs today, I want to know there's no alt between me and my brothers. That's one of the purposes of this letter from Paul to Philemon. Because Philemon had a problem. And Paul was writing from a prison. And as I said before, all of us have been in prison. All of us have served time. Some of you are looking around like, no. Yes, you have. Let me tell you the prisons that we get confined in. We get confined in a prison called unforgiveness. Oh, that's a dark prison to get confined in. That's a dark prison to be shackled in. We get incarcerated in a prison called unforgiveness. We get confined to a prison called addiction. We get confined to a prison of pain, to a prison of bitterness. We get confined by prisons of hate and malice. We get confined into a prison of retribution, where we make it our mission to get even with those who have offended you or hurt you. Let me tell you, a race you don't want to run. There is a race you don't want to run. Because if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You can never pay back. You'll never be able to pay back. In fact, God don't expect you to pay it back. You know why? Because God took your bill and he said, I pay it for you. You don't have to live in that prison. Oh, in Joseph's prison, Joseph chose to love, and he chose to forgive. Even though he didn't have it all figured out, he chose to love. He was thrown in a pit, hated and despised by his brother, much like Jesus was, a type of Jesus, an Old Testament Jesus. Then he was sold into slavery. In slavery, serving in a master's house, he was lied upon, set up, and imprisoned. In that prison, he kept loving and he kept dreaming. He kept hope alive inside that prison. And God elevated him. Let me tell you what God always elevates. He elevates your love. He cannot bless over hatred. He cannot bless over unforgiveness. The only way that God can bless is through your love and through your forgiveness. Amen. Come on, help me out. So we've all been in prison. I see people every day in the hillbilly who's in prison. They're walking around and they're staring at me through doors, iron bars. In the hollowness of their look, there's pain and rejection and hurt inside those faces. There's shame in that, because many of them, when I start talking to them, just hold their head down. And many of them try to walk away and hide behind the counters because you can't run from God. How many knows? You think you can run from God? Come on. You think you can run? I'll guarantee you can't outrun him. Because I was on the run. And I was in a prison. And God's love overtook me. God extracted me from the prison. And filled me with his love. And his grace and his mercy. And I'm so grateful today that he broke the chains that bound me. He broke the fetters and chains that had me bound. So Paul writes this letter from a prison, his first letter from prison. And he wrote this to a church, Colossae, to a fellow laborer in the gospel whose name was Philemon. And Philemon was a convert of Paul's. Paul led him to Jesus. And he witnessed Philemon giving his life to Jesus. What a powerful thing that was. He ran into grace. He ran into love and mercy. God extended that. And this man was a very wealthy, influential man. And in the church, he was believed that he served a position called a bishop. And he served and had church inside of his house. Wow. In a province called Colossae. And church, in that church, this man had established this. And Paul begins the letter by greeting Philemon and those who have labored with him. And I'm going to skip around a lot of things. But he said in verse 3, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's greeting Philemon. He sent this letter. Timothy was also assisting Paul here. And Paul had other people who would transcribe the letters or scribe the letters. And many of these people also carried the letters to their destination. Let me tell you, God wrote a letter a long time ago, Bobby Potter. And he wrote it on the content of my heart. And he told me to carry this letter for him. Oh, Jesus. Are you asleep? Nudge somebody next to you and make sure they're not asleep or dead. Okay? All right. Listen what I'm talking about. Paul said, we're epistles written and read of all men. In other words, we're a walking, living letter of love and grace to those who are in darkness. Do you understand what I say? People, read your mail. Oh, Jesus, just help me to preach this. People, read your mail. They read your mail. They read your mail all the time. You can imagine some of you get really mad if you found out somebody's reading your mail. How many in here knows that sometimes you wouldn't want somebody to read your mail? Hello, anybody here today? You know what I'm talking about. Don't act all sanctimonious and holy. There's stuff you don't want people to read in your life. Hello, be real. That's why we're to have a clean slate toward all men and toward God. And that doesn't mean we're perfect. That just means that we're a walking letter. And Paul would send these letters to provinces and churches and to fellow laborers, encouraging them. Most of Paul's letters in the New Testament was letters written from prison. Think about that. A man who was truly free, yet found chains himself. And he says, I've become a bondservant of Christ. I've become a slave to Christ. Amen. Who was free on the inside, but many times confined on the outside and in prison. And so he writes this letter to Philemon. And I want you to look at the second part of the letter, okay? And I promise you, we're not trying to be lengthy. I'm doing a little bit of a backstory, and everybody's with me today because everybody's got a backstory today. Everybody's got a story in this room. Don't act like you don't have a story. Everybody's got a story in this room. Amen? And so in verse 4, he commended Philemon for his loyalty, his faithfulness, and his love. Hearing of his love and faith in verse 4 toward the Lord Jesus Christ and then toward all the saints. And his faith has shown out. His love has shown out. Every good thing that God has given you, which has been given to you in Christ Jesus, For we have great joy, Paul said, and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Wow. Have you ever been refreshed by a brother before? Have you ever been down and out? Have you ever been down and out? Come on. Have you ever been down and out? Have you ever been down and out? Have you ever been down and out? And then somebody sent you a word. Somebody sent you a word and you say, Pastor R, or brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, I don't know how you knew I needed that word. Yes, you know how you got that word, because God took interest in your pain. Think about that. There's no accidents or just circumstances that happen in the kingdom of God. God set you up. And he said, you've been refreshed. There have been people who have sent things to me this past week, and they have refreshed me. You've got to get a hold of this. It's time to leave Disneyland and come back to reality. You need to hear this word today. You need to be a brook in somebody's way and refresh somebody who is on the bottom of life, who needs to be strengthened, and lift them up. It don't have to be big, expensive, extravagant ways. Just take the time to love somebody. Just to tell somebody you love them. Some of you got problems telling people you love them. Lord Jesus, bless you. Phlegmon means brotherly love, affectionate love, kiss. Some of you probably wouldn't want this, but in the New Testament church, in Paul's day, when they greeted each other, they greeted each other with a holy kiss. Some of you are turning red looking at me right now. You need to get over yourself. Show love. Amen. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You're opening a can of worms up here. I didn't say go to another man's wife and smack a big kiss on her. If you do, you're going to get your jaw adjusted, I promise. And I'll amen it. Keep your hands to yourself. But love deep. Amen. I love it, Dale. I love it, Dale. I got a tear out of your eye right there. He cried a tear. You don't want nobody kissing around on your wife. But Paul said to greet each other in love. We forgot what it was to love people. People need your love, Jody. And you got to get over yourself enough to be able to reach outside the confine of your walls of protection. Take those walls down. I know you've been hurt. Take those walls down. I know you've been disappointed. Take those walls down and take the risk of love. Amen. I promise you, I hear this. I wish I had a nickel for every time I hear this. Pastor R, I don't want to take that risk. I've been hurt too many times. Let me tell you about it. Jesus was hurt many times, but he chose to love. Where they hung him from a cross, pierced his side, and put thorns on his head, mocked him and cursed him. But guess what? From that lowest place in his life, he chose to invest in love. Amen. Let me tell you how loved that was. He knew he wouldn't get love back. We love people because they love us. Ooh, I just love you, honey. I love you back. How about loving somebody and them looking at your face and curse at the same time. They say you love. Ooh, I don't know about that. Jesus said to love your enemies and love those that despisefully use you. You're never going to live on this planet without being used. Wow, Jesus. Okay, I didn't mean to go there exactly. So Paul commended Philemon for his great acts of love and kindness. But Philemon had a problem. Remember, I said there was a prison that Paul was writing from. And Philemon was walking in a prison himself. But he wasn't confined. Because he had a problem with an important person in his life named Onesimus. Say that 10 times real quick. And I'll give you a gift certificate to go to Mickey D's and buy you a big cheeseburger, okay? Onesimus means uselessness and unprofitable. Have we ever felt useless before? Come on, be real with me. You mean I'm going to call out myself in front of these saints today and you're not going to call yourself out? I said, how many has ever felt useless before? How many has ever felt unprofitable? My life don't count. It's not worth anything. Nobody doesn't love me. I talk to people every week that tell me the same thing. Nobody loves me, Pastor R. Nobody ever cares about spending time with me. Nobody ever invests in my life. There are actually literally people out there in this world that's broken, that's filled with that kind of heart issue. They feel useless. I'm going to pick on you, Tyler. You've said different times in your life, stand up, that you've been useless and you have no purpose and you feel unprofitable to those around you. Let me tell you, I'm gonna brag on the Lord first of all. For this guy to be here is miraculous. This guy has lived most of his life, a lot of his life, not most of it, a lot of his life, or some of his life, chasing empty dreams. Listen, sailing and dealing drugs, messed up on drugs himself. He didn't know whether he was coming or going. He was so high on chemicals, he didn't know hardly his way out. But then one day, he ran into grace. Listen, is he perfect? No. Does he still mess up? Yes. But he found Jesus. Don't judge him. Love him. Because if you choose to judge him, that same judgment you judge him, Jesus will judge you one day for that same craziness. Those are the words of Jesus. God didn't call us to judge. That was in the Old Testament. God called us to love. Leave the judging to him. He's the only one who can give a perfect judgment. So the last part of this, and we're tying the boat right here. The last part of this letter was a letter appealing to Philemon on behalf of his slave. Now, why does he need to appeal to Philemon? And why does he need to encourage Philemon about this slave? Because this slave done his master wrong. He stole from him. Every one of us have been an Onesimus. Oh, not me. I'm holy. Ooh, I'm holy. I can't touch anything unholy. Oh, I gotta hang around those holy people. That's right. You're lost and you need Jesus. You're not saved by your holiness. You're saved by His righteousness. That's the only thing that makes you worthy. Not your good works. I don't care what you wear. I don't care how long your hair is, how short your hair is, how many suits you got. I don't care how many things you do. That's not what saves you. The blood of Jesus saves you and washes away your sin. Not your righteousness. I'm glad He did, because see, I was a runaway slave. Heath was talking about early about running. There was a time I was running from God, not running to God. Anybody with me today? Has there ever been a time you're running from God? Yeah, running from God. There are people in here today running from something. This room is full of people who have at one time in your life run away, or now you're still running. You're still on the run. And little did Onesimus know, the man whose name means uselessness. Oh, uselessness and unprofitableness. This man who found his life unprofitable and useless started running from his problem. And he ran to the greatest city on the earth at that time, called Rome. And in this thickly, densely populated world, he thought, I'll hide here from my transgression. Paul, listen, David said, if I made my bed in hell, or if I took the uttermost parts of the heavens, I could never escape the all-seeing eye of God, because God knows where I am, regardless of where I've run to. Jonah run. Ooh. Most of us know Jonah by a fish. That fish was really God. Ooh. Oh, I'm about ready to run right now. And I might grab me about 10 teenagers and run with me and show you all how it's done. I love you. Can't you understand that? You know, my dad told me one time at 80-some years of age, we were walking out, not walking, riding out of the holler, and he was driving. He drove to the day he died. He said, I'm not stopping, children. The day I stop is the day I die. And he drove the day he died, the last day on this earth. He drove to Bristol. It's crazy. 80-some years of age, people were pulling him off side the road thinking he was DUI or something like that. He just, sometimes his medicine just messed him up, made him dizzy. Well, let me tell you something about George, my dad. Coming out of the holler, he made to him what was an official apology to me. He said, I haven't showed you love, my son. I haven't showed you love. I haven't done very well to show you love. He said, I never had a teacher. And he looked at me and he said, I love you. That's one of the very few times I ever heard my dad. Now, he showed me different times. He provided for me. Even though there was abuse in the home, he never physically abused me himself. There was a lot of verbal abuse. But let me tell you, all of us have come from different places in life. But where we've come from, there's always been that deficiency or lack of love shown toward us, or shown toward others. And I'll tell you, one mistake you'll never make is when you invest in loving people. Truly loving them without expectations. Sister Janie, when you tell Kathy and I you love us, I know that. Because you've been there. You've been there, and you've been there years ago when you knew us years ago. When you knew us years ago, we knew your children years ago. And so when she shares that love and she sends Kathy and myself a greeting, Y'all try that sometime without any baggage. Just try just sending somebody a love letter for the week and telling somebody you love them, okay? Don't you dare stand over my coffin and... Oh, Pastor Art, I love you. If you can't tell me you love me here, don't tell me there. If you can't show me love here, don't pretend. There. The time to do it is now. Everybody say now. Love people now. So Philemon was hurt by his slave. He had a debt to collect from his property. Oh, Jesus. He was, the slave had hurt him, took from him, robbed him. And so have every one of us in here today taken from God. Now you're acting sanctimonious and all holy. Every one of us have been thieves. We've taken from God. We've robbed him of his glory. We've robbed him of his position in our heart. We've substituted other things for him. We've all sinned and we come short. How many knows that's in the Bible? Paul said we've all sinned. We've all been transgressors. And the law, which was strapped to the Old Testament, was not to give us a code to live by, but to give us a reality check, a schoolmaster that said, without God, it's impossible to please God. Without him, you can't keep the law and please God. And that law was show us that we needed God. We can't make it without him. Dale, I'm so thankful for your job, brother. That's good. God's good to you, man. You know that. I'm thankful. How many knows in this room, everybody in this room, God's been good to you? Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? And I don't mean to bust your bubble, but you never did anything to deserve that goodness. No. You never did anything. So Onesimus, whose name means unprofitable, was useless. But he ran away from his master and he ran to Rome. And guess who he ran into? God. I love it. I love it when people's backstory said, I was running from God, but I run slap dab into his arms and into his love. Hey man, Josh. Run slap dab, Johnny, into his arms. And so you know what happened to Onesimus? He run into an old preacher named Paul in a prison. And Paul led him to Jesus. And there was a change in Onesimus' life. And he started serving Paul, serving God through carrying letters and ministering to Paul while he was in prison. And Paul says, he became profitable to me. Wow. Think about that. When you all get those little acorns and arrows, you all just put them up and say, poor old Pastor R. He don't have anything else to do with his time except throw acorns at people and give people arrows. Oh. God's smarter than you think he is. I need you to help me. Get up. You know I love you. So you're Onesimus. At one time, felt useless and unprofitable, but he found Jesus. How many knows that Jesus, A mirror will make a difference in your life. A mirror. How many knows he'll make a difference in your life, right? Will he make a difference in your life? Will he make a difference in your marriage? Will he make a difference in your job? Whoa, hallelujah. How are you standing still today? Luke is sick this morning, right? He made a difference in my marriage, Pastor, because my marriage was on the rocks. It was crumbling and falling apart. But then we run into Jesus. Then we run into Jesus. Do I have any witnesses here today? You were running from Jesus, but then you ran right into him. Jonah was running from God, and he ran right into him. Because he got thrown overboard, and he ended up in a fish's belly. That was really God's belly. And there, he contemplated his disobedience. When God said, "No, Jonah, I've got something I want you to do. I've got a call on your life." And you know what Jonah did? Sure, God, I'll do it. But what he did, is he disobeyed God. And he said, "Nope, I ain't going to serve God that way. I'm going to get me a cruise ticket, and I'm going on vacation." That's what he did. Hello? Guess what? God's in the Bahamas. Guess what? God's in South America. Guess what? God's in Europe. Guess what? He's in Paris. God's everywhere, so it don't matter where you run. If you're not careful, you'll run right into the arms of his everlasting love. And he found that out. And he decided, "I'll go, Lord." And the whole city was saved because of that man's obedience. And Onesimus had run from his master, but run into God. He found grace. He found forgiveness. He found reconciliation. He found restoration. And started becoming profitable. When I see you all, and I talked about that little acorn and those arrows, those were objects to incite God's purpose in your life. God sees something profitable in you. Emma, God sees something profitable in you. And we all, even sometimes as young teenagers, growing up as a teenager, I felt like mud. And stench throughout my life because of sexual abuse, physical abuse. I felt like the scum of the earth. I felt useless and unprofitable. Not only because of that, but crazy stuff that I tied my life to. Then I found grace. I found reconciliation. I found love and mercy. And God said, "I meant something to him." Don't seek your identification in another man. Don't seek your usefulness in another person. Those tokens will run out. Those tokens will run out. If you're relying on somebody, some other significant one, to give you purpose and give you identity and say you're special, then you're going to look in your whole life looking for somebody to try to fill a hole that only God can fill in your life. And you don't have to be good to me or gracious to me. I'm going to love you anyway. But isn't that the truth, Josh? useless. I'm profitable. But then Philemon said he felt it necessary to write a letter to his owner, his previous owner. Now the problem is, he wrote this letter and said, Philemon, let me appeal to you on behalf of your slave, who was once your slave, but now he's found Jesus, and he is your brother. He's no longer a slave. He is your brother. How many knows that when Jesus set us free, he set us free from our slavery, and we're now no longer slaves, but sons and daughters of God. Somebody help me out. Have you sat there that long and gone to sleep? If some of you are in the movie theater right now, you was watching Love Story or something, you'd be sitting there and you'd be crying a napkin full. Oh, boo-hoo. Oh, my heart's breaking. And God sent you the greatest love letter that could ever be imagined. And we're sitting there. Jesus, okay, behave yourself. We're in need of grace. How many knows we're in need of grace? We're in need of love, forgiveness, and mercy. So he said, I'm sending him back to you, Philemon. But he's coming back a different way than he left. I love it. I love the flip stories in God's word. He left a sinner. He left a transgressor. He left a slave who was running away. Let me tell you what Onesimus knew would be waiting him. Number one, retribution from his master. He would be beaten severely, punished severely where he would be noticed and reminded to never do it again. Or his life would be taken. Those two possibilities. He knew that possibly was waiting him in Colossae when he went back. Oh, love takes a chance. Wow, how powerful. And I'm tying together, and I haven't meant to be any way, shape, form, or fashion lengthy this morning, but I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you wrap your heart around this word. This word has stirred so greatly in my heart because it's a picture of me. It's a picture of you. It's a picture of Jesus. Amen. So winding this down, there's a lot of scripture there we won't read. But yes, he owes you, Philemon. I know he's indebted to you. I know he's done you wrong. To God, all the above is true on my behalf. I've done him wrong. I've transgressed. I've broken his law. I've done everything possible to earn and deserve death. Can I say this? Out of debt that I couldn't pay. And some of you are thinking about that, wondering, well, now what does that mean? You incurred a debt from sin and transgression and brokenness before God that you could never, ever, ever, ever pay back. Do you get that? How could you pay God back? Come on. Well, I'll just work for him the rest of my life, and you'll be working a lot of lifetimes and you're going to never work. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll tithe. I'll dress right. I'll act right. I'll witness. I'll pray. Oh, I'll read the Bible 30 times at least. You're not even began. You could never pay because it's a debt that God knew you couldn't pay back. But you know what? You don't have to. This is what Paul said And when I send him back to you, Philemon, I know he owes you greatly. This is a kicker right here. If he owes you anything or has done anything to hurt your relationship with him, put it on my tab. I hit that big old strapping boy with a cross one time right in the side of the head. He saw stars. How many knows we all need a good hit in the head sometimes with the old rugged cross? Amen. This is what God signed the payment, paid in full with. God dipped his hand in his own son's blood. He dipped the big payment stamp. And you and I owed a debt we could not pay. There's no way I could pay God back. That's why Paul said in Romans, and we were trying to find, I think it was in Colossians 2, but I for some reason couldn't get my finger on that. But Paul said, I've lived my life from here on as an debtor to Christ. I owe him something. Guess what? You owe God something. What can I give him? Give him your life. If he's got your life, he's got your heart. Be loyal to him. Be faithful to him. This is more than if I don't go to church, Pastor Art's going to text me. Oh, goodness, what am I going to say? Oh, yeah. Listen, you're indebted to Christ, not me. Live your life to please Christ. Serve him, love him. That's why Paul could go to prison, as extravagant as that was, and write letters of love to those who were totally free outside the walls and commend them to love and serve God, to walk in their purpose. I'm indebted to Jesus. I owed a debt I could not pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe. He paid a debt he didn't know. He hung between the heavens and the earth, naked. Not like the Renaissance painters paint. He was naked. Oh, we make it proper with the loincloth. Jesus was naked. He hung in shame and humiliation. And he chose to love you over your transgressions, through your mess ups, and through your mistakes. And this is what we're going to end. This is important for you to remember this, guys. I know attention spans way wear down thin, but this, you got to get a hold of this. Paul says, I'll take care of the debt. I'll mess him up. He owes you. When I come to you, I'll take care of the bill. Wow. Imagine that. Jesus paid for my bill. Paid for your sin. That's why I don't understand people coming and acting, fiddling around and playing patty cake. I don't understand that. I can't understand that level of passion. I know that I've been there, but I can't understand. I'm an indebtor to Christ. And when I praise him, I want to praise him from here, not outside. That's why I have no trouble raising my hands. That's why I don't have any trouble acting crazy. Not all of us are crazy like me, but I don't have any trouble because I'm an indebtor. I owe Jesus something. You prayed for years for this man right here. Look who's sitting next to you, Miss Connie. I'm an indebtor to Christ. How many will say he's been good to you? Keep your hands up. If you're too shy to say he's good for you, man, you got problems. He's been good to you. In your worst day, he's been good. Through your mess, he's been good. Through your tragedy, he's still been good. I know there are families here today. You've been through so much lately. And you think, well, God, how can I make it another day? You know why you can make it another day? Because somebody already made that day for you. Amen. He loves you. He loves you. Closing. And so, Philemon, it's important that you love him and receive him just like you would receive me. I learned three revelations. I'm loved, forgiven, and accepted by God. And it brought the greatest revelation, a peace to my life. On my worst day, God still loves me. On my best day, God still loves me. He just loves me. Amen. He loves me. He loves me. He just loves me. This last thing. This one favor I ask of you, Philemon, that you love him with the same love that's been dealt to you. Now, Pastor R, I can like people, but now, man, I can't love everybody. You better. I said, you better. I don't want to leave this planet with that debt. I cannot handle that debt. That's a debt I cannot. Even at times, if it seems impossible to love people who've hurt you. Everybody in this room, if I ask you, you've been hurt, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You have been. I've been. Jesus has been. God's been. We all been hurt. We've all had offenses. You're never going to live the Christian life without an offense. Jesus said they'll come. But woe unto the man by which that offense is handed out. We don't make it our intention to offend people. But you know what? On my best day, I probably will offend you. But I'm not set. That's not my mission to offend you. It's just things happen. You hear wrong things. You take something wrong on maybe a day that you are in a bad mood and you. That's why texting is awful. There's so much hidden language and error in texting. Sometimes I've spent half a night trying to correct something that I said. Why is this thing buzzing? I'm closing. Philemon, this one favor I want you to ask you to do. He owes you a lot. He's messed up. He's fallen from your grace. But just love him the same way. Remember, Philemon, that day you found Jesus? You remember when you needed forgiveness? You remember when you needed grace? You remember when you needed mercy? Now I ask that you show that to now your brother. He's no longer your slave. And I'm going to take care of that when I come to you. Just love him like a brother. Love everybody like a brother. Let's love each other, guys. I'm going to tell you something you didn't know. This is a scientific fact, okay? People live longer who love. People who are loved and love live longer. Now, I know there's exceptions. There's things that happen. But I'm just saying, let's love people. You got one life to live. You don't have a cat of nine lives. You've got one life to live. Live with love in your heart. Love each other. People mess up and they've wronged you. You know what I do? When I feel like somebody's got something against me, I chase them down. I love it. I chase them down. I've been known to camp out in people's lawns. There comes Pastor R. Hide, hide, hide. Isn't that his car? Hide, 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 hide. Oh, I choose to love you. And I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We mess up. I mess up. Let's don't keep a record. Guess what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? Love keeps no record of evil. Oh, man, I keep a record. I'm just writing down everything so-and-so did to me. Is that the way you want God to do you? You want God to, and guess what he already does? No, let's just throw that away. Let's choose a love this year. Let's choose a love because God loved us. And today, paid in full. Every person in here today needs love. And I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Thank you, Josh. You've been awesome, man. You've been awesome, brother. I love you, man. I love you. How many be real with me? How many be honest with me? How many incurred a debt that you could not pay? Raise your hand if you incurred a debt that you cannot pay. Let's just settle that right now. You have a huge debt. Some of you know what actual debt is. We've been there. We've been there. And we got a breakthrough miracle several years ago that we were able to pay all of our debts. If not, I would have never been able to pastor. Because when I left teaching, I incurred a lot of debts. But God blessed us because he knew that this day would come. But imagine somebody, every bill you owe, loving you so much, they found out every paymaster, every banker, every institution, they found those out, took knowledge of them, and went to every one of them and paid them all off, knowing they'd never get anything back in his place. That's what Jesus did for us. Woo! I'm debt free! Guess what? You're debt free! Spiritually, you're debt free. I'm free. Now today, if you're here today and not free, find that freedom. Bring in your life to Jesus. It's time to quit running from him. If you're a runaway slave, it's time to run to him, not from him. Run to his love. Run to his arms. Let God love you and pick you up from your brokenness. Let him set you free from your prison. God's the only one that's got the key to that prison. And then John said he gave us the keys. Woo! Woo! Because he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Make it a mission every day to get people free from their sin. Free from their life of brokenness. So you're here today. Bow your head for one second here. You've been so patient today. You've been so gracious. You've been so good. And you know, I've made a dent in your time today, in this day. But it's really not me. God made a dent into your time today. And if you're here today and you're weighed down from the debt of your sin, you're incarcerated by some darkness or some problem or some situation, and today you need God's love. You need God's love letter. Answer your mail. Open that letter today. God loves you, and he's trying to get that across to you today. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with unconditional love. If you're here today and you need that, raise your hand with mine and say, Pastor, I think there are a lot of hands that were raised earlier. I'd like to see those hands again. There were hands all over this room that went up. Pastor, I've got a debt. There's so much. I could never pay it back. There's so much brokenness in my life, in my heart. I need God's grace. I need his love. I need his mercy. If that's you, slip your hand up. Be real with me. Come on. Come on. Be real. Don't sit there. Don't sit there and act like your life is together. How many in here has ever been hurt by somebody before? Maybe you carry a wound from a hurt. Maybe you carry a wound from a hurt, and it's hard. It's hard for you to reach that olive branch to somebody because you've been hurt. Today, God said, this is the day. He already paid for that. So all you've got to do is reach that love to somebody else. And today, if that's you and that's here, keep your hand up with mine real quickly. Keep your hand up with mine. Be real. Be real. Come on. I've messed up, Pastor. I'm going to be real. I'm not going to come back to you. I'm not going to drag you to an altar. I'm not going to come back and beat you over the head. I'm not going to try to make you feel guilty. I'm not here to do that. But if you're here and you need God's love, lift your hand with mine right now. Come on. Be real. Be real. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and trust God that he is going to take care of everything that he said he would. And he'll do that. You trust him. And when Onesimus left Rome and went back, he knew there was a chance that he might be spurned by his master. But when he ran back, he was met with gracious love and forgiveness. And God's ready to meet you today with love and forgiveness. Run to him. I'm going to ask on the count of three, and as we all stand together, please, let's respect and honor. Let's don't let three be an exit way for us to leave on that, because this is a holy moment, okay? This is a holy moment. That's not a count to three for you to try to beat the parking outside. This is a holy moment, and God's speaking to you people here today. 1, 2, 3. If you raise your hand, I want you to come right now. I want you to come. If you need love, you need to give love, you need to be forgiven. Come on, be real. Be real. Be real. There's people right now.